are back. It is Monday, May 11th, 2020. In case you forgot, it's 2020. It's been a weird year. But your boys from Talking About Practice are back in studio. We got four of the five. One of us is running on color, people. Tom, guess which one. But we are happy to be back in the flesh.
Apply for it, so you know.
Yeah, you work. You're on color, people. Tom.
Yeah, yeah. And I have some color in me too, so you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you said I work. Why does me working have anything to do with me being on color, people? Time.
I'm saying you work as
like
a color.
You work like your skin works.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying you work. I was like, you have a job, so ergo, you can be a good, like,
no, you qualify. Ergo, you are a colored person.
Yes. Got you qualify. Yes. Okay, I was like, I work, yeah. Yeah, having a job.
That's right. Yeah, no, I do have a job.
That determines you being colored nowadays, having a job.
Jeez. Technically, you don't right now.
So I'm not colored anymore. Damn. Oh, man, I lost it.
Two out of five have a job right now.
Oh, man. Anyway, this is Talk About
Pretty
Practice.
Pretty good to be colored then, I guess, you know?
Jesus. We are Chico's only locally broadcast sports talk radio show. Did I say that right? Chico's only.
Locally produced.
Produced.
We are broadcasted, yes.
Yeah. Wow, this is going to go well.
Off so well, you
anyway,
guys.
Talk About Practice. We are made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Apothecary Options, a compounding pharmacy specializing in bioidentical hormone replacement for women and testosterone replacement for men. More information is available at Apothecary Options, 345-7979, and at apothecaryoptions.com. With no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Talking About Practice starts right now.
So what are we talking about?
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Boys are back in town. I'm your host, Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, co-creator, my partner in crime, Derek Isamaki.
What's good, party people?
For the first time in a long time, we have the one, the only, DJ J-Pounds, a.k.a. Jordan Booth, back in studio.
Back like I never left. What's the deal, everybody?
Back for the first time in a long time. Sonny Slim, a.k.a. John Lucan.
Well, hey there, guys. How we doing?
Before we go too much further, congratulations on graduating college.
Woo-hoo! Thank you. Ooh,
rounding up the rear.
Young Luke.
Hey, I got something for you real quick.
Okay. Yeah!
Never more appropriate than right then.
Yeah, exactly. Well done. See, you're already stepping it up.
I'm loving this new thing. It's going to be great.
And that is the voice of our stat man extraordinaire, the game killer, Statman Brad.
Yeah! Let's go!
Throw your X's up.
Woo! Are you excited to be
here? I am stoked.
All right, well, move your mouth away from the microphone.
My game was awful, but you know what? I'm ready for the show.
I'm glad you're taking the brunt.
Yeah, you know, I'll take the brunt for that. That the past or the last three holes, awful. I came out hot last week, said I was doing great in golf. Came out with some money last time, and I lost money this time around. I'll take the L on that one. That was my fault. Sorry, Jordan.
So you're going to pay my half.
Oh, No.
I mean, no.
You're paying your
all
half.
You listening at home, it kind of sounds like he was going to pick up the slack.
I'm not picking up your slack.
It's okay. I'll
the least
I'll
you could do.
I'm sorry. I came through on those first three holes. Those chips, solid.
We won one of those first three holes. So I don't know what coming through.
Well, that was the only hole you guys won. So
yeah,
you
I don't
might
know what coming through.
Hey, he made sure it wasn't
those
a clean
putts
sweep.
Those chips.
I hit an amazing shot on five.
You did.
Yeah, you did.
You did.
The best shot of the day.
It might have been, yeah.
But near.
You still lost.
There was some controversy on five.
Still took the L.
Yeah.
It's a lot of controversy on five, but...
For those of you who have no idea what the hell we're talking about...
Brad so just willy-nilly jumped into this full board.
Yeah, not explaining anything at all. We have started a new tradition here, celebrating quarantine instead of being downers about it. We've decided we're going to golf now that the golf courses are open again. We have golfed the last three Mondays before the show. And this is the first time that all five of us were able to golf and then go do the show together. So...
I'm liking this tradition.
Fun times. Me, Derek, and John took the dub today. But we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. And I'm sure you guys are all thrilled to hear about our golf game.
They love it so much. Keep talking about it. Let's go.
I think we're done.
Let's analyze everyone's game right now.
But the boys are back in town. I really need to work on my chipping. Anyway, we're going to start exactly where we started last week. We're going to get into UFC. We're going to obviously talk about the Earl Thomas story. Lot of terrain to cover there, and I'm glad Jordan's here for this because I feel like you're the man we need to go to on that story. We'll get to that. The NBA, it has been...
Background.
Okay. I just feel like you'll have some good insight on this.
Okay. All right.
You're the only one who'd be willing to participate in said activities.
Oh, wow. All right.
Ooh.
All right.
I didn't say all that. We'll get to that.
That's what he's alluding to.
I got five, pick or foursome, all sorts of stuff on the way. But we're going to start again with the Jordan documentary, just because it was the most recent thing to happen. And it's the closest thing we've had to actual basketball since March 12th, when they shut down the season due to COVID-19. So let's start there, guys. Episodes 7 and 8 were last night. And there was a few things that I took away from this, but I just wanted to kind of get your guys' overall takeaway from Episodes 7 and 8. Derek, we'll start with you.
I think these ones, they've all gotten better as the season, as this whole Michael Jordan docuseries has progressed. So 7 and 8 were definitely, I feel you definitely have a, I've said definitely a lot right now. I need to stop with that. We're going to hold off. So, without saying definitely, you finally saw Jordan at what we've all heard about in terms of his practicing mentality. His real competitive truly came out. Like, we've heard about it. It's been building up. From episodes 1 through 6, 7, it really came full frontal with his. You really saw how much of an a-hole he was, and how much he valued winning over everything else. And he so much so that it like kind of brought him to tears, which I thought was kind of funny. I can't take it. It's too heavy for me because I just wanted to win so bad. It's like, all right, Jordan, you get it. You wanted to win. But yeah, he made winning the focal point of everything that he did. And if you weren't on that page, you were out. And he made sure that if you weren't able to handle him at his worst, then you certainly didn't deserve him at his best. So
I thought it was interesting when we were on the golf course, John, you mentioned how so much of watching episode 7 and 8, you saw how Kobe kind of became Kobe. And I don't remember what year it was, but it was the year Shaq got injured, and then he came into the season overweight and out of shape, and Kobe was so furious because he couldn't stand to have someone with that much talent not work as hard as he did. And you see so much of that in Jordan, and to the point where Jordan was in tears and said, you know, I may have been a bleep hole, but I never asked my team. You can ask any of my teammates. I never asked them for something I wouldn't do. And you just saw that competitive fire. I walked away from it fired up. I was ready to do some push-ups, play basketball in my living room. I was ready to go, which
I would never want to be teammates with him. I can tell you that right now. That's the annoying people I feel. The ones that are like, you're just not that much fun to play with anymore. Because, like, again, granted, I'm not a professional athlete, nor do I want to be at this point in time in my life. It's long gone. Never going to happen. Never was going to happen. But I'm never something that, like, to be able to get it to the point where this that tedious of a lifestyle where, like, basketball is now this, I've got to win every single time. That's just a heavy load to carry every single time you step out onto the court. And for you, not even on the court, even when you're in practice right there, you got to have that same mentality. That's just strenuous. So,
Jordan, you asked a great question on Twitter, and I was wondering if you could kind of paraphrase for the people what your question was.
Oh, yeah. I was just asking, you know, with this whole Jordan documentary, you know, we have this trajectory of, you know, such a great athlete from the beginning to the end. We, from the beginning in 84 when Jordan came out, they knew he was going to, or they felt that he was going to be, you know, a transcendent athlete. Who is somebody now upcoming who we view in that like? And they could be in the NBA already or they could be up and coming. But is there anybody who we view right now who has that same type of, you know, status, you know, like God?
In any athlete?
I mean, Messi, you got two in soccer, Messi and Ronaldo. Those are both pretty
but
much.
But you're talking more up and coming. Right?
I'm talking more up and coming, but even with Messi and Ronaldo, I feel like those are kind of like. I mean, Jordan won so much.
So, you Messi know what I mean? Like, so them Messi and Ronaldo.
Messi? I feel like Messi's not a winner.
Because you only can think about
Messi's
it.
Messi's just never won the World Cup.
But he's won Champions every other League.
Cup. So, how can you be compared to the best basketball player of all time?
Because the World Cup isn't the focal point of global soccer.
Yeah, the world. I mean,
it's four, but it isn't.
Yeah, because it's only every four years.
Oh, okay.
So exactly. But the La Liga, he's won multiple times. He's won multiple Champions Leagues. He's won multiple Spanish Cups. The guy has a ridiculous trophy cabinet. But it just there's only one trophy you can win in the NBA. So that's kind of why it's not a complete comparison. But in terms of like. Godlike status on the field or on the pitch or on the court, Messi and Ronaldo, or Messi in particular, I think has that essence about him.
Well, plus you have to look at it for soccer. It's not just one league. It's the whole entire European nations as well as Russia as well. So you don't just have one league you're going against.
I mean, one could argue that Jordan competed in the same type of element. Granted, he did have the
every
best,
4 years, yes.
He had the best basketball team probably ever assembled in the Dream Team, but one could argue that Jordan, you know, faced those similar odds and overcame and won.
Well, I don't know if he overcame. I mean, USA was just that dominant. I mean, you put anybody up against USA.
I mean, you can take Jordan off that team and they're still winning crazy against them all.
Yeah, true.
I
would probably say. True.
You know, you can swap out Isaiah Thomas for Michael Jordan and they're still pretty much, maybe not to like blowing them out to the 40-plus, I think,
but difference
they had, but they're winning 20-plus points every single time, I feel.
I would say that Zion has a chance. Obviously, I don't think he'll be Jordan. I don't think, because of Jordan's impact off the court as far as branding and how he changed the professional athlete and made them icons more than just superstars, just made them relevant in every aspect of pop culture. I don't see that athlete on the horizon, but someone who can be transcendent and just the mystery around him I see in Zion, where it's like we don't know what his trajectory is, but it's so fun to watch and it's so different than anything. I've never seen a guy that looks like him, jump like him, and have a game like him. So I would say Zion for personally.
Yeah, somebody answered on Twitter, John Morant.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I could see that.
I mean, I could even see Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a really good call.
Coming in at the quarterback position, being able to run, throw, I mean, there's so many different types of offensive schemes you can go through him, so I feel like he could be a really...
Yeah, that's a really good call. And Jordan, same as Lamar Jackson, is kind of doing. And obviously, there was some before him, going back to Kaepernick and other athletes, other quarterbacks like that. But I think the thing that was Jordan kind of gave way to was the shift from big men dominating the league to guards dominating it. And it's been a guard-dominated league pretty much since Jordan's prime. Obviously, you had Shaq, you had Hakeem in there, you've had good big men. Dwight Howard had a run in there, but it's really shifted to a guard dominant game. So that's another thing to keep in mind with that question is who can transcend and change the game, and that's why I think that Zion kind of can with his size and the way he plays with all the threes getting shot now and having a guy who can go and bang inside it's different, you know. So anything else on the Jordan doc? There's so many things that happened last night. We finally got to see an emotional Jordan, which I enjoyed.
I found it funny. Again, like I said, what caused him to get emotional I thought was funny because he was like, he was saying, oh, my competitive spirit and just no one could match me, essentially. I was like, okay.
He loves himself. He got teared up about his own competitive nature, which is amazing. And to your point, was like basically these guys can't hang with this intensity. And all I was trying to do was get the best out of them, yeah. You know. But the thing I appreciate is none of it's forced. It's not a 15-second video on Instagram of look how hard I'm working in the off-season. This dude was about it.
It's a 10-part documentary series about it. That's what it is. That's what the entire... Like, it's not... No, it's like... the entire time, it's all focused around... I want to make myself Jordan speaking here. As, you know... Give him an honest look, because he is being honest with us. I do sense that genuineness in the storytelling. But it's definitely all structured in a way to, like... I'm a badass, y'all. Yeah. I'm the greatest. Like, no one touches this.
I definitely like how they touched on him and his dad's relationship and really highlighted how close they actually were. It was great to see him opening up about that and kind of, like you said, being very, very honest in that regard. Like, you don't see that very often.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. You know, obviously, I kind of forgot the details of him winning in 96 on Father's Day. The first time, you know, playing a full season after his father passed away.
What more details do you need right now? Like, you just said it all.
What's that?
What more details do you need? You just said all the details pretty much.
No, I'm saying I forgot that that was a thing.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a... That was an interesting...
I mean, just weird how his story aligns. Like, mm-hmm. You know, like how Derek was saying, like, the different things that he points to in his career. You know, him winning on Father's Day a year after his thing, after his father died. And just, like, all these different things are just, like, so milestone-ish without being milestones. And it just makes it, like, adds significance to his career.
Yeah, agreed. I think the thing that sets Jordan apart, why he is considered the greatest ever, was... a couple things. The intimidation factor, his drive, all the things that we talked about, the competitiveness, all those things. And just how when he decided he was going to do something, he did it. They were talking in the documentary, I believe in part 7, about him going to baseball and retiring and going to baseball. And his best friend or, you know, former manager was saying that Jordan mentioned it a year prior to him doing it. And the only reason he didn't do it is he said, Larry Bird and Magic never won 3 in a row, so I got to do that first. And it was just like, yeah, all right, I'm going to go handle that. I don't even want to do this anymore. I'm tired of being the best. I have no one to beat. I've proven everything. But I got to go do this real quick. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Definitely some good moments out there. I do got to highlight one moment that made me laugh hysterically out loud. At the very beginning of episode 7, there's a press conference with Jerry Krause. And one of the reporter asked the question of, how do you feel the team is doing with all the betrayal that's happened? Backstabbing, I think he said, is happening throughout the, you know, throughout the team. And Jerry Krause got very upset with this said reporter and said that's not happening at all. And that was a very unprofessional question, and he got up and left. And after that had all happened, one of the reporters you hear in the background say, way to go, Craig.
Yeah. Yes. I do remember that part.
And then it was great. That was me. Yeah. I was cracking up when I saw it.
That was amazing.
Shouts to you for ruining that press conference. Don't know who you are,
Craig
but
Sager.
Way to go. Was it Craig Sager?
It was the legendary Craig Sager.
Oh, you
good
better.
Why up front like that, bro? It's just, you're not just going to be a random Craig up front talking to
Did you actually see
him? It's Craig Sager.
Okay, all right. Well, even better. I love it.
Yeah.
Craig can do that. Well, I guess he wasn't quite that well, he was legendary back then.
Yeah, he's
another hilarious part that kind of flew under the radar was the finals game against the Seattle Supersonics and the legalized Kemp sign.
That was I wish that was more around.
It was so hard.
But the Rain Man, baby.
The Rain Man. He had a moment in
time. That's Seattle for you, man.
Oh, man. That was
ahead of their times, man.
They really were.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else on this, or is it okay if we move on at this point? Let's move on.
Like we had a choice.
So there was a story that just came out that happened about a month ago, but... just has talking about practice written all over it. You guys are familiar with the Earl Thomas story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's break it down for our listeners who may be unaware. So Earl Thomas last week put out on Instagram, there's something that's going to come out that, you know, and all I can ask is for you that you pray for our family. And obviously, a lot of speculation was going on about domestic abuse. So here's the story. On April 15th, I want to say it was. I want to make sure I get all the details right.
13th.
13th. Yeah, that's right. Austin police responded to a call about a disturbance at 3:41 in the morning. When they showed up at the residence, they observed that a black female wearing an orange sweater with a knife in her hand, later identified as Nina Thomas, was chasing a shirtless black male, later identified as her husband, Earl Thomas, with a pistol in his hand around a vehicle. So she was chasing him around a vehicle. The story goes, Nina Thomas got in an argument with her husband, Earl Thomas, safety for the Baltimore Ravens, about his drinking. Earl Thomas then left the house and disappeared for the evening. Nina Thomas then backdoored, hacked his Snapchat, however, got into his Snapchat, traced his location, and called up two of her homegirls. Her, along with two of her friends, then showed up at the residence in which Earl Thomas was staying and came into the house and found Earl Thomas, his brother, and two women naked. And I don't know if they're all in the same bed or in different beds within the same house. It was unclear, a lot of speculation. They're all in the same bed. Either way, Nina Thomas then pulled out a Beretta that was Earl Thomas owns and held it to his head. Now, the clip was out. However, someone who was filming the whole thing, in the video, you can clearly see, apparently, that Nina Thomas's finger is on the trigger, and the safety is disengaged, and they later found out that there was a bullet in the chamber.
Ooh. Jeez.
Nina Thomas says that her intention was to, quote, scare him, which, yeah, having a loaded gun pointed at your head with the safety disengaged and one in the chamber, pretty scary stuff. So, a lot to digest here, guys. And my question is, have we come far enough as a society? Are we progressive enough that we can't laugh at this anymore? Because there's some jokes to be made here. And I want to know if it's okay to still make those jokes.
I mean, I'm the wrong person to ask.
Yeah.
Great to dare.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, of course, yeah. I mean,
obviously not about the domestic abusive issues, and it seems kind of like a part of him and their relationship forced her to do some of the things that she did, which is never, you know, positive to like look at from that perspective. But there are definitely jokes here to be made, and as long as they're made about the right parts, I think they should fly. They just should go heavy.
Yeah, I mean, I will give Earl Thomas one piece of advice my grandfather always gave me: keep a wrinkle in it.
Gosh,
that's all I'm gonna say, Earl.
It's good to know that there were two women confirmed in said situation. I was under the impression there was only one, which would lead you to believe they're all in the same bed. Which would lead me to believe that Earl Thomas and his brother got freaky with each other, which was weird.
Okay, that's...
I'm going to say it probably happened.
Speculation, man. Speculation is crazy.
Well, that's the most fun thing to do right now. Speculate about this.
About everything.
It makes it way more interesting, way more entertaining, way more interesting right now.
So this double standard still applies then, correct? Because had the roles been reversed, there would not be as many jokes.
Of course, the
absolutely
not.
If Nita Thomas was in bed with one other guy and her sister, and Earl Thomas happened to bust in with a loaded Beretta and held it to her head, this ain't funny.
No,
but it still could be a little bit funny.
Yeah, I'm sure you could find the funny in it.
Yeah, I'm sure. But he would still be in jail. So I mean, the scales seem
this
pretty.
He's on the good side on this one. Yeah. Like he's on. Because it could have been really bad if he was on Nina's side. If he was one holding the Beretta against someone's head.
Oh, it's
he
like,
ain't
he's
playing
dead.
NFL
like,
ever gone. Again. Yeah.
I've never thought I'd hear someone insinuate that someone was on the good side of domestic abuse, but I happen to agree with you here.
You take this out, man. Like, this is...
Yeah, he was on the right side of it. Obviously, you know, adultery frowned upon in this society.
In this society, what society are you from?
I mean, this one? Okay. Is it not frowned upon?
No, I'm just saying. I just like you said it kind of like
you know, like randomly. Like it's not
like it's accepted elsewhere.
Yeah,
adultery is frowned upon when you're in a monogamous relationship.
Correct,
a committed monogamous relationship with a wife. That's usually when it's kind of frowned upon, unless you and your wife have an agreement, at which point in time it's not a monogamous relationship. But yes, in a monogamous relationship, adultery is usually frowned upon.
I was having a conversation about this with with someone.
Shout her name nameless.
No, I'm not going to put her out there like that. But she did say, I mean, you were high school sweethearts and you married a football player. Did you not think he was going to cheat? I was just like, damn, I mean.
Fair.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I see where she's coming from, you know?
It didn't seem like it was Big Earl's first rodeo either. It seemed like it had been out a couple times, you know what I mean?
Big Earl had been out a couple times?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he had
the
whole
Airbnb. Little Earl out. That's what he's trying to do, you know?
What were you going to say?
Apparently with his brother present, too.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Mike, he's probably done this Airbnb thing a few times. I'm just going to say that.
Okay, let's talk about that. Let's assume they were in the same bed. I wouldn't want anyone. I don't want dude seeing me naked, period. I don't care if you're related to me or not. I'm good. And I don't think I would want to. I don't want to be in a bed naked with any of my friends or a brother if I had one. I feel this is awkward.
I could never be a porn star. Is that what you're going for? I can't perform in front of people that well. Like, you know, that's.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Not my. That's, yeah, not my.
Not with any, especially,
I mean,
people,
have you ever had the opportunity?
I've never wanted the opportunity.
Okay.
So I've never.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is you don't know. You don't know what you're capable of until you're a
porn star. Exactly. That's true. I do not know.
Legit right. Question. Yes. That question has legs. Let's put a Twitter poll to this. Let's do something. Can Derek do it? Hashtag that.
He get that mustache? He could.
Oh, man.
Wait, what?
If you have that mustache, you probably could.
I want it to be of legal age, though, when it happens.
Moving on. It couldn't be a moment too soon. Oh, God. Once again, you are listening to Talkin' Bowel Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Jerome, Derek, Jordan, John, Statman Brad, all in the building. We want to thank you for listening to this ridiculous show. And also, we want to thank some of our underwriters. Arbonne International, providing pure, botanical-based beauty, health, nutrition, and immune-building products for men, women, and children. Arbonne. I'm going to say it like that from now on. Arbonne also offers the opportunity to become your own boss and work from home. Sounds right. Most of us are. More information about Arbonne International by calling Eden Davis at 228-4039. Or you can visit Eden Davis at arbonne.com. So thank you to Arbonne and Apothecary Options. Appreciate the support. Once again, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Derek, do you have news for us today?
I do, yeah.
All right. Well, keeping you updated with the going-ons around the world, Mr. Derek Isamaki with your news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world,
Breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for
the news.
The news.
Now, during this quarantine, we're all trying to find ways to pass the time. One can only masturbate so much, you know.
My aunt listens to this show, Derek.
Yeah.
We were just talking about porn.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, she's heard it all.
I was going to say, to your aunt, much respect, much love, appreciate the ears, but you've known me for quite some time right now.
If you're still listening, you know where I go.
That's
nowhere near the worst thing I've said on this show.
Maybe we should
have a highlight show one of these days.
Ooh, oh, my God. I like it. Podcast
but again,
only.
You can only spend your so much time pleasuring thyself. So much.
Thanks for doubling down on that point, Derek. The people were unclear about that.
Unclear?
You know what I was trying to say.
Well,
I'm thrown off right now.
A man over in Walthamstow, northeast London, good old Chris Woodhead, is finding new ways to pass the time. And one of those ways is by tattooing his body every day he's in quarantine. So far, he's done 40 different tattoos on himself. Now, granted, Chris is one of those tattoo guys that has pretty much his entire body tattooed, so there's very few spots for him to get a tattoo. So every tattoo he's putting on himself is nothing major or drastic to this look of Chris Woodhead. But at the same time, that's one way to do it. Tattoo yourself, you know? He's got over 1,000 designs on his body. Now 40 more with those new quarantine ones. He's got them everywhere. Bottom of his feet. Top of his feet. You would expect that too. You know, but bottom of his feet, I feel, is kind of, that's aggressive right there. He's got some words written on the bottom of his feet right now. It's actually kind of interesting. I think that's where he's, one of the few spaces he has left open is the bottom of his feet. That's why he's doing it.
Sounds like a miserable place to get a tattoo, FYI.
Not as bad as your penis.
Yep.
That would be a lot worse.
That's
right. I'm just saying, like, going worst places to get tattooed, I'm pretty sure that's probably number one, right?
You know what? While we're on the topic, I just want to bring this up. I once knew a guy that had your name tattooed on his member.
That's how you're saying it? Member? I like that, actually. I appreciate when people say member. It is. I always thought that was a great way to allude to things as member. Yeah.
It's charming.
She grabbed my member.
It's like not as dirty. Like clean dirt.
Yeah. It's like saying nude.
Mm.
So if you're busy, if you're bored right now.
Yeah, use that Lysol.
If you're bored right now and need something to do, tattoo yourself. It might pass the time. And you might have some great artwork on your body by the end of the time. Or some really bad stuff and some great stories to tell. Either way, the time is yours. Fill with it as you need.
Man.
I won't say it, Jarrell.
Thank you.
Jarrell doesn't want me to tell you guys to jack off as much. I don't know about you guys, but neighbors are rough. They're always around when you don't want them to be. They're just, you just can't get, you can't escape them. They're your neighbors, you know. I always say the best neighbor is a high fence, but unfortunately for a couple of neighbors.
Let's regroup.
All right. I don't think I can do this story, actually. This is not a good story to do right now. It takes a very dark turn.
Shocker.
Oh, okay, but actually, no, it's not that dark. Okay. All right. So, neighbors. They're tough, guys. They're tough.
Are they hard?
You always are when you're trying to. okay. Last time. One more. Neighbors. They're rough, you know? They're always there. You can't escape them. And oftentimes, it's always bad when you're feuding with your neighbors. Because you never feel safe at home. Your home is always a battleground at that point in time. Well, unfortunately, for two families in Texas, it got a little bloody. Over in Harris County, two families.
Always in Harris County, right outside of Dallas.
They don't like each other, apparently, these two families. We're the two elder statesmen of both families. Other members.
gosh, show got too hot. The lights literally turned off. It's too hot to handle.
This is a weird place we're working in right now. If you are one of those people that don't take your password seriously, because it's annoying. You have so many things where you have to have passwords, and you just want to make the easiest one possible for you to remember them all. Because you've got 20-plus different places you probably go to where you need a legitimate own password for it. And you can't repeat passwords at times. You have to come up with ingenuity, and you forget them all at the time. But they are telling you right now to be mindful of the passwords that you choose. Because apparently people are getting very lazy these days. And a study by PK Tech discovered that roughly most people, roughly 60% of people, they... over 60% of the people that they conducted a survey on had passwords that were very easily...
Cracked.
Yeah. Yes. and they came up with a list of top 20 passwords, and half of them are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in some variation of that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, like between 1 and 10.
ABC 1, 2, 3.
That is another one. Test 1 is another big one as well. They said the word password is in there. Huh. Zinch, interesting one. Q-W-E-R-T-Y if you're trying to do that because you think you're not clever. Not in any way. Don't. Get rid of it. The one that really stood out for me, G_checkout. And checkout is spelled out C-Z-E-C-H out. So, I got to change my passwords now, guys. and that's the news. So I hope you enjoyed that because that was fun.
Yeah, I think it's probably one of your best ones yet.
I pleasured myself that way.
Oh, my God. Let's move on, shall we? Oh, man. We have another player choosing to forego the college experience. A couple weeks ago on the podcast, we talked about Jalen Green foregoing college. And now Giannis's younger brother, Alex Antetokounmpo, is skipping college to play in Europe. Now, we mentioned a couple weeks ago about, will this become a trend? And on a recent podcast, I went off about how I think the NCAA is hustling backwards and not helping these kids get money, but trying to figure out how we can kind of let them get money, but not too much money. And now we've seen two major recruits opt not to go to college. And I wanted to get your guys' opinion about it because I've been pretty vocal on this point for a while now. And, John, you and Brad are the biggest collegiate sports fans here. So why don't you start? Do you think this is going to be a trend, and how do you see this shaking out moving forward?
I think it could be a trend, especially with these kids, these kind of top-tier kids getting, $300K to $500,000 for their, contracts. But I just still see the NCAA and college basketball as too big of an entity to really take a hit. You have 4 or 5 kids a year that are top-tier NBA stars or NBA players that forego and go to Europe or the G League. Out of those 5, there's still another top 300 kids in the country. Like, there's still going to be the Dukes. There's still going to be that notoriety. And did you see the article put out about Zion Williamson and his money or advertising management coming out and saying that he was paid to go to Duke? He was paid incentives and got paid through Nike and Adidas to wear those, while he was on Duke campuses. So I feel like kids at those big universities are still going to get their money. You know what I mean? And to have the notoriety to go to a Duke or a UConn or a, Kentucky that's on ESPN and on television every single day when the how many G League games are televised?
Right.
So, I could see a swing if more players start to go and then G League actually starts to get some headway with getting contracts for TV and stuff like that. But as far as G League in Europe, until we can get games televised on a regular basis to broadcast these kids, I still think college is a better route for these guys.
Yeah. What about you, Brad?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. I think these kids are going to be going to college a lot more than I think the G League, like John said. There's about only like a handful of guys that could go pro right off the bat, if not go to like a minor league system and go from there. I think the only thing that the NCAA has to worry about is all these punishments that happen with all these kids in these schools. You look back, I see a lot more of these paid players getting exposed and a lot of these punishments getting dropped down. I'd be worried if the Power Five conferences get together and say, hey, look, we're tired of this. We're tired of, A, not being able to get the players we want and pay them what they deserve, and they might just leave. They might get up, leave, create their own college league, get their own TV rights and their own radio deals, and steal it away from the NCAA. Because without the Power Five conference, the NCAA means nothing.
I mean, it wouldn't be a bad idea. Like I've said for a while now, if the NCAA would just work with these student athletes to help them get paid, I understand. I mean, even the greed. I can even see past the greed of, you can get your own stack, just don't touch ours. But if they would just work with these kids and help them get sponsorships and help set them up, if they don't want to pay them themselves, then let's help them get money. And that's how I think you can begin to fight these top recruits going to the G League, going to Europe, and you can get them onto a college campus, because I want to see these guys in college. I'm probably not going to watch any of Jalen Green's games. I probably won't see anything about him except on Instagram, you know, a highlight here, a highlight there of him in G League, but I'm probably not going to catch any of his games. But I can tell you this, last year I was more locked into college basketball when Zion was playing than I had been in years, because I wanted to see what it looked like, you know? And so I just, if the NCAA could just figure out a way to get out of their own way, I think they could solve this issue pretty quickly.
Well, I will say, the reason why I think you were watching that Zion one is because the hype behind Zion going into to college, no matter what, like Jalen Green, you're saying he's an amazing player. He is not Zion Williamson in any way, shape, or form. He does not have the following, the highlights, the exposure. And the fact that if someone of Zion's caliber decided to go to the G League, we'd be watching the G League. We would have cameras there. They'd be following him along and doing everything.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really so much as the notoriety. These guys, if they're good enough, they're going to get their notoriety some way. Because even the guys that you don't know about that are amazing athletes that go to these schools and they want their time. I mean, I'm one of the more casual fans. I only pay attention participate in that when it's March Madness.
Yeah, that's
right. The regular season, I'm not paying attention to college basketball for the most part, nor am I looking out for games. The only reason why you were looking out for Zion was because he had the name. I mean, we saw that guy dunking when he was 16 in high school, and it was insane. So you just realized, okay, this guy's going to be something special.
Yeah, and I think to your point, Derek, is it comes down to media. Where does the media point the light? And if the media is going to continuously point the light on the NCAA, then that's what we're going to pay attention to, because there's really no media presence except for their Instagram, except for social media pushing it on. So I think if the NBA wants this to be a successful transition, I think what they need to do is have some sort of media presence on these players, on this league that they're going to have, and really bolster up the G League like they have been, but a little bit quicker, and getting those ESPN games that they have for their big G League games. So
I mean, I think the biggest thing is that they're providing an alternative, which would hopefully, you know, create a competition and make the NCAA, you know, step up to a level that would be fair. We do all understand that this is only an option for a handful of athletes. Therefore, putting money into the G League right now to give you a subpar product, you know, a 27-year-old dude that was in jail for 3 years, but he was super nice in high school, but he got a shot in the G League. This dude who's random out of Detroit, and now he's hooping, he made the team, and he's scoring 28 a game. It's just not going to be the machine that the NCAA is with, you know, these big coaches, the Coach K's and the Tubby Smiths and these, you know, big-name coaches. Like, that's what the NCAA has to counter the money. And the money is only up for or available to, you know, three or four guys anyway. So at the end of the day, the other 366 people still have to go here. So, you know, hopefully they can figure out a way to make it more comparable and better for everybody. Because they've been getting money under the table for a long, long time. And the NCAA always has chosen who they want and who they don't want to punish, usually after they're gone, so it doesn't really matter anyway.
Yeah, it just punishes the school, not the players.
Exactly.
Yep, that's absolutely an excellent point. You would say Zion Williamson was at Duke was pretty good, wouldn't you?
More than pretty good, honestly.
He was
pretty good. Hey.
Pretty good. You know what else is pretty good? Mini corn dogs. Big fan of mini corn dogs. Perfect bite-sized little meal.
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know what else is pretty good? Beating Jordan and Brad. Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good.
You know what else is pretty good, guys? Nothing. Nothing. I lost in golf today. I spent more money than I planned to. It's just been an awful day to me. It's not a pretty good day for me. Derek, hopefully you can bring us home.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Swimsuits. In particular, female bikinis these days.
Yes.
They're pretty good. I don't know fashion, but they're doing something right over there.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, agreed that you don't know fashion.
What?
All right, moving on.
You got one?
Yeah, I got one.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Oregon women's basketball. Pretty good.
I don't think Brad gets the game.
Yeah.
I don't even know what he means by this.
Yeah, what?
Very attractive. They're pretty. Very pretty.
I mean, I don't watch too many women's basketball games. He could be right.
Mad pretty, yo.
Mad pretty. Hey, I'm about to do some research on this.
While you're at it, check out University of Washington.
Well, quarantine is hitting you guys different than it's hitting me.
Oh, yeah. Oh. It sounds like there's been a little...
Chafing is what it sounds like.
Thank you. Moving on.
Find something else to do, guys. All right? You can't do that all the time.
Derek, hands up on the table.
Speaking of quarantine, this week's I Got Five, we are going to break down our five favorite quarantine activities. So since there's five of us, I say we just kind of round robin this. Brad, when you are ready, sir. All right. So this week's I Got Five favorite quarantine activities. I'll kick one off. I think this is a pretty obvious one. Golf.
Yeah, I figured that was going to be on that list. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Do you have an activity that's not pleasuring yourself?
Of course, yeah.
Come back.
Let me think.
All right, I got one, of course. Chilling by the river.
Yeah.
Darts.
Where are you playing darts at?
I play darts with John.
Oh, okay. You have a dart board?
Everything white I do with John.
Paid my taxes on time.
I paid my taxes on time.
It's a whole new world.
Yeah.
Cornhole.
Hey, cornhole. Well, yeah, because you blew it.
That's terrible.
Man, he's really giving you the white core right here.
Or shoes. No, like,
for me, FIFA.
Yeah. Oh, you don't want none of this, Brad.
You don't want none of this.
Like, I'm the best in the room.
I'm
the highest in the room.
You haven't even looked at FIFA 20 yet.
I will dominate, though.
Please.
Yeah, we're going to have a round robin. But anyways.
That's your five.
I mean, that's my one.
All right.
That's our five.
We got five on it. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's move on. Since we've been talking about golf so much on this show, let's do our foursome. So if you're unfamiliar... we're picking a golfsome foursome, so us plus three. And in honor of Little Richard's passing, we're going to go with classic rock musicians. So who wants to kick this off? I can if no one else does. I've actually researched.
I got one.
Do you have three more? Because you're going to need three
two,
total.
Two more.
Oh, I thought we were going around and around.
No.
We'll leave about it.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go Chuck Berry, number one. Absolute legend, was at the beginning of rock and roll, so I'll go Chuck Berry. I'm going to go Jimi Hendrix, because You know he can find the good stuff. And I'm going to go Lenny Kravitz. Now, he might recognize a common theme between all three of those guys. And Lenny Kravitz might be an odd one. Why would I pick Lenny Kravitz? To get in his good graces to holler at his daughter, Zoe.
Hey, that's a solid plan.
Fair.
Solid plan.
No, thank you. Thank you. I thought this through. Anyone ready?
Yeah, I'll go for it. Janis Joplin.
Nice.
She's going to be in there.
All right.
Mr. Robert Plant.
Solid.
Yeah, he's going to be in there, too. I mean, you took my Jimi Hendrix action, so I got to move on down the road, and I'm going to... Who am I going to settle on right now? Bob Dylan.
All right.
Okay. Just because I knew John was probably going to take him, and he had him in his list, and I'm just going to say Bob Dylan.
All right. Yeah. Jordan, you got yours?
Yeah, surprisingly. Bon Jovi. Right. Just because he seems like a pretty free-spirited guy. Seems like he'd be cool. And he seems like he'd be worse than me for some reason. He probably plays. But he seems like he wouldn't care. So like I'd be like, all right, cool, I'm better than Bon Jovi. Kid Rock. I actually like Kid Rock. Kid Rock was kind of cool back in the day, like especially when he tried to merge with like the hip-hop like realm in like the early 2000s. And then last but not least, Slash.
All right.
Okay.
Solid. You ready, John, or does Brad need to go?
Firing from the hip here.
All right.
Thanks, Derek, for taking two-thirds of my foursome. But the first one I'm going to go with is Freddie Mercury.
Right. That's a solid pick.
Yeah.
Weren't you him for Halloween?
Yeah, maybe. my second is David Bowie. And my third, Stevie Nicks.
Ooh, ah.
What about Stevie Ray Vaughan? I don't even know who that is.
That would have been one.
That's a solid foursome.
Good choice.
Brad?
I'm going to have to look up some because you guys all took up some.
No, Brad, you don't get a foursome anymore. You are just off the cart path.
Yep. You're disqualified.
Game killer.
Okay.
And a disappointment to all. Do we have a foot and mouth this week or no?
I mean, there's some football possibly coming back, so no.
Hold on. Drop the foot and mouth. We actually have one.
Into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as
39 was last year and he could barely throw a ball out of a barn side.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's foot in mouth.
Let it soak in, y'all.
No.
Just let it soak in. There is no football right now happening, guys. So, not yet. Hopefully on the way soon. La Liga trying to come back. But as of playing time, not yet. June possibly happening. Earliest we're looking at. Possibly Premier League. Possibly La Liga. But at this point in time, still no football. So sad. So sad. That's it, y'all.
All right. I'll do Brad's job for him. No worries.
He's still looking at him in the fourth one right now. He's desperate to find, other rock outfits that could fill out.
It's over, bro.
Yeah.
I know.
Segment's over, dude.
I know. The segment has passed. I appreciate your passion, but...
Okay. I'll stop.
Okay, great. let's move on. UFC 249. Did anyone watch it?
No.
No.
I say we get our foreign correspondent on the line because she actually did watch it.
All right, let's
there you go.
Bring her up. And in the meantime, do you have any grinds my gears? Does anyone?
I do, yeah.
Excellent. Well, let's knock some of these out then. Hold on. Okay.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Women that wish themselves a happy Mother's Day when they have a dog. No. Stop it, y'all. I've said it time and time again. I'm going to continue to say it. You're not a mother. It's a dog. Very different. Please, don't. No, you do not deserve any Mother's Day love, support, or admiration because you have a dog. If you have a real kid in your life, then yes, happy Mother's Day to you. You deserve it. Because raising a human being is hard. Very difficult. Raising a dog, it's tedious, but it's not that difficult, y'all. It really isn't.
You know what really grinds my gears?
If you get a card for your mother and you don't write your own personal message in that card, you're a terrible person if you don't. You don't love that person. You don't really care about that person. If you get somebody a card and you don't write your own personal message in that card, you don't really like that person. You're just there for the good times. Like, hey, here's your card. No. If you take time to write your own message, it means you care. So I hope you all wrote a personal message to your mother in your card you sent her, and not just whatever the card had to say. That little Hallmark tribute they did, right? No. No.
But what if it just fits perfect?
You still write your own message.
Correct. Even if it's just, yes, I love you.
That's a pathetic message. Come on. There's something. There's more to say to your mother, how blessed you are to have her as your mother, how happy you are that every day that she's raised, blah, 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 whatever. There's something to be said. So you better write your own message.
Really grinds my gears.
Speaking of that, people that put out Mother's Day posts when their mothers are not on Instagram, is there a more look at me thing than, hey, look, I care about my mom who's not on Instagram?
Very much so. I didn't want to say you'd be the guy, though.
All right,
but I'm glad you're the guy.
Let's bring on our foreign correspondent now. We only have a couple minutes left, and none of us watched UFC 249. So the better Isamaki out of the group, Aaron Isamaki, joins us now to tell us what we missed. Aaron, hello!
Guys, it's like the only sports we've got going right now, and none of you watched it?
I had to pay money to watch it.
Yeah, you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
To
do that.
Oh, yeah, pay for it. That's right.
I don't pay for nothing.
We're jobless out here.
Fair enough. Anywho, it's too bad that you didn't watch it, because there were a bunch of great fights. You guys really missed out. The key fight